Yo, yo, yo. It's time for another This Week in Mormons, dogs.
Wiki, 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 wiki.
Wiki, 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 what? I am, of course, your ghost host, Jeff.
And I am the ghost runner on third, Al.
The ghost runner on third? What is this? Angels in the outfield?
I didn't know what we were doing with ghosts. I was just trying to follow your lead.
What ghost are you talking about? I was doing a... Never mind.
I thought you were setting it up. I was just spiking it down.
You want to watch Angels in the Outfield, don't you?
There's an angel with you right now, Charlie.
Is he the one that dies? Is that Tony Danza's character?
I don't know.
Then he dies later on. That movie's terrible.
Danny Glover. I thought it was a poetic commentary on the angels' desperate times.
It really was, I mean, but it was... Yeah, it was stupid. It worked...
because you're an Angels fan. For an Oakland A's fan of my youth, I was happy.
You like the A's over the Giants? You've got to like the Giants over the A's. Come on.
I was closer to the A's. I could take a bus up there and watch a game for $5 on a Saturday.
There it is.
There it is, Al. I was just cheap
enough. Anyway. Yeah, so how's stuff going? Everything hunky-dory?
It's good. I've discovered some of the joys of Boulder and the Colorado area. It's very exciting.
Yes.
Turns out we have like I don't know. Maybe I'm just a backwoods Mormon, but we have like fully legit bishop's storehouses. And like I went down and volunteered this week at there's a cannery here, like a legit cannery right in the middle of Denver and apparently the hood of Denver in Aurora.
Yeah.
Everybody, the big joke was wear a bulletproof vest on your way down. And I would not have been uncomfortable in a bulletproof vest, let's be honest. But it's kind of a cool thing to do. Like, I wish they had more of those in more places. If I've followed it right, they've more and more of that stuff down as time's been going on. So, kind of fun. But, stacking, what did we do, like 10,000 cans of tomato sauce?
Hello.
I touched every one of them, baby. It was...
Well, it's nice of you to render service.
Well, it was... I was due after, you know, several decades of not serving, so...
Understandable.
Whether I need it or not, every 20 or so years, you got to get out and give a little service.
There we go. I am currently, as we talk, I'm enjoying, there's some sort of mariachi celebration going on in the house behind me.
That's what I heard.
And
that's going to be a pleasant surprise.
It's funny when they do this. Actually, right now they seem to have switched over to Shakira knockoffs, it sounds like. But I grew up with this all the time. Always behind us. They do these crazy mariachi parties. I used to like it, though, because they were more like dance instruction parties. You could tell they were learning actual, like, traditional Mexican dancing, which is kind of cool. And they would just go to town, though. They would go until 3 in the morning. Just
see where I'm from, we'd learn the Virginia reel. They'd be calling it in the back. That's what we had.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, the other thing, we did a cool an activity in our singles ward today. Where it was like an end of institute hoo-ha exciting thing, but then they had everybody bring desserts and auction them off for fake dollars.
Okay.
Which was it was a pretty good idea, but like it turned out to be a blast, man. We had so much fun with it, and I'm really good at the auctions. I had no idea, but that is a talent that I possess. I could be an auction. Like, I totally understand those guys that are addicted and have to call the 1-800-BETS-OFF stuff. Because I was bidding with money I didn't have, like hundreds of dollars over what I had.
Oh, no.
Of my fake money. And had I actually won that, ooh, Jeff, I wish you could have seen the faces of these people.
I wish I could have been there.
And I cleaned house. I took like 8 desserts. It was pretty impressive. And at the end, there was a bunch of people that were left with like thousands of these fake dollars that they couldn't spend because they had gambled poorly.
Shame on them. I actually was at a legitimate auction last week. I went to a fundraising dinner for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Youth Organization.
Oh.
And it was interesting over in Beverly Hills. The entertainment was great. There were a lot of B-list celebrities. The best part was, you know the Goonies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the singing Fratelli brother in the movie, the one that's always singing opera stuff.
Uh-huh.
He graced us with Sinatra covers while we were eating our dinner. It was awesome. And the best part was, he got on the audience's case. He's like, you're all a really loud group of people, aren't you? What the H is your problem? What the H is wrong with you people?
I am singing Sinatra songs, if you didn't notice. That's great.
Yeah, it was brilliant. So they did have a small, they had a silent auction, but they had a major auction element. They someone paid $19,000 to have Wolfgang Puck come and cater a meal at their house with up to 25 people.
Well, it's for the children.
That ought to be fun.
See,
that's not bad either. That's less than $1,000 a head. That's not terrible.
I used to go to auctions all the time. Like as a kid, I'd go with my $11 and try and buy a sled or something. And you'd play those puppy dog eyes, and the auctioneer would like notice that you were bidding on everything up to $11. And so then, you know, something would come around and he'd close it real quick. He'd be like, and sold. You're like, thanks, Eddie Pickett. Thank you.
It was great to see this auctioneer guy. They brought him up, just started railing into stuff. Yeah, oh yeah. He's like, come on, give me more. Let's do this. Come on, who's gonna do it? And then I watched these men who I can't imagine what it's like to be able to just throw around 20 G's on a whim. I mean, there was a lot of money in that room. Buzz Aldrin was even there. It was so outstanding.
Oh, I love Toy Story. So anyway.
And the ride. So there's other things that I could discuss about this and that for banter factor. But
wait,
have to do it.
Your week, well? Was it well, Jeff?
I've had a good week. I have. It is known to most of our listeners that, believe it or not, TWIM is not the only source of revenue in my life.
If it were, it would be all. It would be a very brief breakfast, lunch, and dinner for you.
If it were, it would be awesome. If we had enough money to live off this show just from advertising, how great would that be? Couple hours of work a week, done. So that is why, if you love us, listeners, please spread the word, and eventually someday we can grace this show with what you all want to hear, which is, of course, advertising.
Audible.com, that's what we'll start bringing.
We will start with Audible. I love Audible.com, and I'm not even being paid to say that yet, but I do love Audible.com. And you can help Al and I have better lives by listening more and allowing us to make you listen to commercials as we do the show. Anyway, point is, I have secured actual legit employment after many months of bouncing around trying to find something stable in this exciting Californian economy. So
congratulations. That's great news, man. That is very cool.
It is. Yes, sirree. I'm going to get to work my butt off doing research and whatnot, and I'll actually be a full-out professional once again. It's been quite some time.
You're almost joining my ranks of the professional entrepreneur and self-business owner.
Yes, except you do it totally different than I do. You follow the dream, sir. You work, you charge your exorbitant rates that you charge for your consulting abilities, and then you save money, and then you just go hang out and work on personal projects for a while until you need more money. I mean, that's not a lifestyle that's going to ever get you married, but at least you're enjoying yourself, so.
Yeah, you know, seven towns in the last 2 years has not bred an aura of stability among the ladies. They see that, and it's almost like a job interview. They're like, oh, really? So you left after 3.5 months each city. Well, that's not going to do well later on in the interview process. Baby, it's different this time. I love Denver.
I love it. Missouri meant nothing to me. Nothing to me. It was a fleeting mistake.
I'm all for Colorado. You know me.
I'll never go back to Toronto. I promise.
All right. So.
Yes, you silly man. So anyway, good week. I will. It's been a long time since I've actually had to go work in an office, because even before when I went to graduate school, when I worked full time, I got to work from home for that entire gig. So I'm rusty on that whole deal. So it ought to be fun.
That's exciting. I'm glad. Anyway. I'm glad you secured said employment. Well,
I am glad too, and hopefully this show will not suffer, because if this show suffers because of my job,
you're quitting.
I will quit. I will walk away.
Jeff is the most dedicated man to TWIM that I know outside
of myself. Because
of
that dedication, you should send us money. We both have PayPal accounts.
So we should put a donation button up there.
Yes, we want your feedback. Seriously, people, if you're listening, tell us, if we were to put a donate button, would you donate anything? I want to know, because we could do it. Anyway, so let's move along. A lot to cover this week, actually. There are a lot of things that have gone on this week. But we have decided to focus in on a few interesting stories. First and foremost, the church is going greener. as evidenced by a new meeting house in Farmington. Also, the fabled Granite Mountain Vault, which for all we have known all this time has cauldrons boiling with potions inside of it because the church will never let anyone in there. They've actually let people in, and they are going to be releasing a whole lot of data and this and that. So it's very interesting that the Granite Mountain is sort of being opened up just a little bit. Also, what would it be this sort of week if we did not discuss the immigration row going on right now? This is, and how it pertains to the church. That's the main thing we want to get on here. Whether or not, and of course, you know, I'm referring to the Arizona hoopla about immigration. How does this relate to the church? How does this affect us as church members? Does the gospel decry or promote this sort of stuff? And that's there's some other things. There's the Book of Mormon YouTube challenge, which we all encourage you to participate this coming Monday, and a few other things. So it's going to be a good show, Al. You excited?
I am pumped. Let's go.
Let's do it. So, like I said, the greener church buildings. You may have seen this in the news this week. It was released through the newsroom of the church near the end of this lovely month of April that the church has constructed its first solar-powered meeting house in all of the Northern Hemisphere. And it's in Farmington, of all odd places.
Well, Farmington, the ultra-progressive energy conservation city that it is. I mean, it's only natural.
And noted for ample sunshine year round.
Absolutely.
I don't know why they chose. Maybe it's because Lagoon. It's probably because Lagoon is nearby. What else could possibly be the reason? So, it's the first ever solar powered one, amongst other technologies, better, more energy efficient windows, using chips and this and that instead of lawn in many places to try to reduce watering costs. Things along these lines. So, this represents an interesting shift in the church because they are treating it more that we have a responsibility to the environment as members of the church. And that's something we haven't seen as much before. We've always touted the importance of caring for the land and for the earth because it is God's gift to us, but that it is our responsibility as church members to take care of it. Now, to preface this, you may remember many, many moons ago, probably 10 weeks ago, when we discussed the Ogden Temple being renovated.
I remember we debated this issue a little bit on whether or not the church was making a move towards this.
Sort of. It was minor. We talked about a lot of things with the renovation of the Ogden Temple. For those of you who have forgotten, that involved, this isn't just a simple renovation or adding an annex. This is stripping the entire exterior and the whole thing and basically redoing it, the whole look of the temple. And in the process, the church announced back then that they would be using more energy efficient materials, as is to be expected when you have the chance to gut a 30 plus year old building and make it a bit more efficient. So, first, I wanted to play an audio clip of Al's initial comment, a response to a church spokesman who talked about this, and then my comment about what I really thought this meant. So here is this, a clip from episode number 3 of TWIM, Torah, Torah, Torah.
Oh, I remember Torah.
Yeah, we love Torah. All right, so here's the clip.
Okay. It's interesting that he puts such a big emphasis there on becoming more energy efficient. I mean, It's kind of a good PR move right now to pull those taglines out. I mean, I wonder if that's kind of what they're going for, if the church is really worried about spending too much on the electrical bill.
Well, I think it makes sense. I think it goes many ways. I don't think the whole, like, making it more efficient is the main thing we should read into this. Yes, there it is. The whole making it more efficient is not what we should read into this. When in all reality, let us listen now to a clip released presiding bishop of the church, Bishop H. David Burton, as I've been corrected numerous times so far, Burton, and let's see what he has to say about the role, the importance of this building, what this signifies for the church, and what it has to do with us as Latter-day Saints. So here is Bishop Burton.
When you operate an inventory of in excess of 17,000 buildings, you can understand that environmental issues are extremely important, and we're working very hard to try to find ways to conserve the precious resources, help with clean air, and use those kinds of practices that are environmentally responsible.
So, there you have it. Al, do you have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, well, first, it's kind of funny to listen back, you know, to our first couple of episodes. Cool.
Oh, how immature we were.
It's true. Well, the thing that jumps out at me about Bishop Burton is 17,000 buildings. You know, I know, like, we know that we have a lot of stuff going on in the church and that kind of thing, but 17,000 buildings, that's pretty big. You know, like, you save a little bit by changing the light bulbs in your church buildings. That translates into a huge sure. number. But so far as the going green thing, it's funny. I think that there's, you know, there's the global warming approach to being a environmentally responsible person. And then there's the fact that, you know, like in California's case, I mean, if everybody ran their air conditioners during the summer, the state shuts down. Like, there's just not enough energy to go around, right? And so, like, it turns into a fully legitimate crisis. And I think the church as a whole, you know, when you translate that into 17,000 buildings, I think that they're really smart to move on this now and start trying to build a little bit more efficient stuff. I mean, there's so much energy wasted in these church buildings when you think about it. Like, you know, you go into a gymnasium and all the lights, and they just leave them on while they're hanging out in the church. I mean, these big stuff. And so if you had, like, you know, just some minor abilities to kind of detect who was where and, you know, where activity was, and then put, you know, give energy to those areas and then turn off when people forget to leave or to turn off the lights when they leave, stuff like that. I mean, that translates into some big savings savings for the church. And also, you know, it helps quite a bit so far as conserving energy and, you know, being responsible about what you use, which is something that the church, I think, you know, I think ultimately stands for. We do treat that, you know, the environmental stuff with a great deal of respect, I think.
Yeah, and I appreciate that we are not shying away from the importance of taking care of the planet, of doing the best that we can do to make it a better place. And of course, you know, there are obvious benefits, of course, when it comes in terms of cutting costs and cutting utility costs, of course, but also it helps the environment out. And we see that there are going to be other buildings built along these lines over in Apache Junction, Arizona.
These buildings, I mean, the building up in Farmington, is it just like, is it just general solar panels on the roof to heat the baptismal font? I mean, what are the additions that they're doing on these?
Oh, there are so many additions, Al.
Do tell.
Are you sure you're ready for it?
Well, because you were saying earlier, it was like windows, you know, they were using energy efficient windows.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's all sorts of stuff. It says 30%, the new Farmington one, for example, is 30% more energy efficient than any ever built by the church. It's insulated with polyurethane foam, which is different from the typical foam we put in for insulation. Because instead of typical fiberglass insulation, it's polyurethane.
A different foam. What else?
Uses highly efficient windows, carpets made from recycled materials, tankless water heaters.
I wonder if these are the carpets braided grocery bags.
I hope so. I hope they're made
because
out of hemp.
I love those rugs. They're so nice.
Oh, I love this one. European style toilets that offer the choice of little or lots of water with each flush. Now,
is that the poop deck?
I have lived in Europe 3 different times. And I have never once seen a toilet that has some sort of setting that says, do you want a
little
I guess I'm thinking of sometimes on the top. Could it be this? They have, if it's like a silver, like a metal button on the top of it to poke down. Sometimes it felt like they had almost a crescent moon shape cut out of it and you could hit one or the other.
Exactly.
There we go. Okay. I just put
The old adage, if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, let it mellow. Bishop David Burton is adopting that for the church.
Oh, well, look at all this stuff, though. They will finally start putting recycling bins in the church buildings, or at least outside where the dumpsters are. Yeah, it's an interesting.
Dude, there's
endeavor.
So like, think of all the mutual nights or, you know, scouting events and stuff where it's just like cases of soda cans hucked away. I mean, there's a lot probably they could recycle out of stuff like that.
Yeah.
All the church news is in the mother's lounge. You've snuck in there before. I know you have. You've
of course
seen the
I have.
Newses.
I love it.
Now, what I think is really newsworthy here is Bishop Burton is responding directly to our third TWIM.
Yeah.
I mean,
clearly they listened.
We've moved him to action. I feel a little Colbert-esque when I say this, but absolutely. Bishop Burton, well played.
So it's great. Another thing, we'll link to this on the page. It's very interesting. Over at newsroom.lds.org/conservation practices, the church has put together a pretty interesting slideshow that starts from the 1950s and works its way up, discussing the many things the church has done in all this time to be more energy efficient. They've been aware of this for a long time, whether it's using in the Pacific area, using rainwater and collecting it for irrigation purposes, redoing this and that.
I think the main thing they've done is never having a working water heater for the baptismal font, ever. That's got to save them so much. Well, and like the environment thanks them for baptizing all these little 8-year-old kids in freezing water.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. Moisture sensors, motion sensors. Anyway, interesting little slideshow. Definitely worth looking at. Also of side note here, they're also working. This is more structural, but they're also changing some of the design inside of these new meeting houses. This falls more along the lines of the worship experience overall.
Really?
But it says that instead of traditional horizontal rows in the church buildings that we're used to, and sometimes the side rows, you know, say you have
a... Are we going the diagonal?
Not fully diagonal. It looks like...
With the altar behind the veil that you can't approach completely?
Yeah, that one.
And maybe the frescoes of old, you know, Mormon saints like Brigham Young up above?
Are you getting all Orthodox on me? Is this what you're doing right now?
That was Saint Sophia, in case you couldn't see the description.
I remember. So I believe in Saint Sophia. You mean where we were sneaking photos the whole time, even though we weren't This is how bad we are. We are quote unquote rich Americans in Ukraine, touring this famous 1,000-plus-year-old cathedral in Kiev, and what was the charge? Was it 5 hryvnia just to take photos? Which is
it was about $1.
A buck, and we're so cheap. We're like, we're not paying that. You nuts.
I hit it in my baseball cap.
So there's always little babushki all over the place making sure we're not taking photos. So we were walking around trying to distract them while other people took photos. We're terrible. What's wrong with us? Oh, boy. Never listen to us. Anyway.
Wait, so how did the design change?
The design is more they want to fan the rows out more so it makes a more intimate connection between the pulpit.
Like a half circle?
I don't know if we're talking like a semicircle or something like that, but they will definitely be fanned out a bit more. And I've been to some meeting houses where if say there's three sets of rows where the center ones are straight and then the ones on the side are angled a little bit, but I've like the one I go to right now does that, but I don't know if this means it'll actually be like angled pews or curved pews. I don't know. So we'll find out.
Interesting.
It is so interesting. So good job, church. Glad to see you going green. Proud to be a member. I like it.
Well, that's a
I like it a lot.
A lot of greenery. So, in other news, they're opening the Granite Mountain Vault, so to speak. The cool thing about this is like you said, you know, it's been one of those very mysterious things forever, where it's like, you know, it's where are the gold plates? Maybe they didn't go back to Moroni at all, but maybe they're in the vault. And if only we knew where that vault was. Well, so they, a lot less secret, which I think is a good move for the church to be a little bit more, you know, open about some of this stuff. But they're digitizing the records in there. Obviously, the granite vault is used to store microfilm.
Microfish.
And
there are a lot of guppies in there.
I hate you. So it's storing these just records, right? And records on top of records on top of records. And what they're doing is there's a digitization initiative to help with the correlation and the work togetherness of these professors in their field or these experts in their field. So kind of cool. They're going to start letting, you know, for one, opening it up a little bit and digitizing it, which I think is a very smart move. And two, inviting collaboration on the research of some of that stuff, which would be awesome. And I think that we're journalists enough. We could probably get a pass to get into that information. And the other cool thing about this is they've got some videos that they're releasing. We'll link to on the website. You can go check out. Just kind of showing, giving a tour of the vault, which is way cool to see because it's the first time they've ever done anything like that. So go check it out. It's something you haven't seen before. And yeah, pretty sweet. So cool thing.
It's the Granite Mountain. And then building on that, I believe, along with that, isn't the church releasing a bunch of new data or new names to the world?
Oh, yeah. So along those lines? That's kind of unrelated news, but 300 million names are being added to the Family Search database this week, the church announced, to a round of applause at the genealogy conference. Now, anything that can get a room full of genealogists out of their seat and clapping, I say bravo. Good work. But 300 million, which is funny because I thought we had them all. So apparently there's some that are missing, 300 million or so. That so I think now we've got everybody covered. So cool, good work.
Yay! It's amazing to me how popular genealogy is worldwide. A couple months ago, I volunteered just to help out with parking at a genealogy conference at one of the stake centers around here, and it was amazing. I would not have figured that this place would fill up so quickly, but I was so hard pressed to find anywhere for people to park. I had to put them on the street, up against walls, all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
It's really impressive how, and you know, plenty of people are members of the church, but plenty of them aren't, and they're really grateful for the church's for the ease of access that the church provides to find genealogical information about their ancestors. It's just fascinating to me, I think, how huge it is. You know?
But it's kind of cool too, because the church has really taken the genealogy thing has become its mantra. You know, I used to think that all the "let me give you a gift of leather-bound genealogy," like, I was just like, what a cheesy gift that would be. You know, I would hate to get that if I was meeting with somebody, you know, that was the head of something. Like, give me a car or a nice TV, but a book of my ancestors, please. I've seen it. But but it's really something that the church has been able to use to its advantage, primarily in getting into people's, you know, like in breaking the ice, so far as the misconceptions that people have about it, because they're forced to kind of work with the church on it, because the church has such vast resources invested in genealogy. So I think it was a smart move by the church to go that way. Well, and I guess essentially Jesus wanted it that way, right? With the researching your ancestors and giving them opportunity to accept or reject, right? So all in good company in that mandate, I think.
It's wonderful. I find as I'm getting older that the whole spirit of Elijah is, I don't want to sound all cliche or anything, but it is like stronger in me. Like, I have a greater desire now to understand more of my ancestry, and I know a lot of it. My older sister is a total genealogy nut, bless her heart. So she has, our genealogy is done back for like 800 years or something like that. I really feel like there's nothing I can do, but the thing I can do is get all those names in the temple, obviously. And it's a marvelous endeavor that we undertake. I think it's really interesting.
Well,
to
what's funny
history too
is, like, you go back. Well, there's no way that it's all done, right? Like because you branch off and great grandpa Jebediah has 8 kids and boom, it's like years of work to track all that down. I mean, it's just it's so exponential that if you're going back as far as you can, I mean, you can go back pretty far, but there's always somebody to trace down, something to some tree to connect. And then you find out you're dating your cousin and you got to break up. I mean, it's the drama on top of drama.
Now, I'm just going to move on. We love FamilySearch.org. The church loves search queries, anything associated with the church, doesn't it? Because we want people to look into
the
church.
Query on.
Now, according to the church, this is going to be a little blurb from an article in the Winnipeg Free Press.
Winnipeg, the leader in Free Press.
We have resorted to news from Winnipeg to get stuff for the show. Though, by the way, did you know Winnipeg, strong French-speaking quarter in one neck of the woods? So there you go. You can take that home with you.
Wait, I did know that. Was that the interesting tidbit, that they spoke French in Canada? Shocker.
But in Winnipeg, in Manitoba, most people
they only
don't know
speak French
get
in Winnipeg because Americans will not go there and teach them the civilized tongue, those savages.
Yeah, of what, Minnesotan English? That's very civilized. So
no
anyway,
offense
I'm
to
move
those
along. The point is, this article talks about labeling and names for a lot of churches, but it makes a point, this little blurb on the side that says, "Comfortable with being Mormons." And talks about the church's efforts, especially in the past 15 years, to really get away from using the term Mormon to describe the group, because obviously, even still today, like we've talked about recently with Glenn Beck, for example, the whole Liberty College thing, that they don't consider Mormons Christians, that we deal with a lot. And the church even actually released figures saying that about 33 million people used the words Mormons or Mormonism to search for information about the church last year, and only a few searched for the church by its official name, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's pretty interesting. So let's see here. who says this, Michael Otterstone, says, it's simply a reality that that people think of Mormons, they don't think of Latter-day Saints. Mormon is here to stay. The fact that it's just quicker. It's a lot easier to say Mormon in a search engine, isn't it, than to say LDS? LDS is something we've tried to tout a lot more, to get people to say LDS. We can go with that, but then invariably they slip up on a couple of keystrokes and they find out about hallucinogenic drugs. So,
or the Democratic Party in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. Good call, Hal. Good job. So it's an interesting idea here to think about this. This article is basically saying that the church, without somehow announcing officially how this is true, at least maybe this refers to the Winnipeg stake, but that the church is sort of getting away from its efforts to get rid of the whole Mormon thing, because the internet's the biggest problem. People aren't going to stop saying Mormon online.
Well, so are they, do you think? Like, I've noticed that the push for that, you know, because they used to, like, correct you and wouldn't never mention it in meetings and stuff. They were really trying to get to the LDS. You know, we are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They were doing that for a long time, but it's kind of died down now. I haven't noticed it quite as much.
Yeah, exactly. I know they still, especially at the church's newsroom, they push for journalists to use the church's official name, especially the entire lengthy name of the church in the first reference to the church. After that, they can say LDS Church or what have you. But to get away from describing it as the Mormon Church or Mormons, they still push that, but it's certainly not as much emphasis as there used to be, especially when we created Mormon.org. That was basically embracing something we've tried to suppress, but because we recognize that when someone's looking for stuff about the church, they're not going to type in LDS.org. They're going to type in Mormons. And that's,
which I guess we're not helping, because, you know, we were going to go with the This Week in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but the acronym was, you know, like Twit Code Colds. So it just didn't work, and we had to go TWIM.
Well, it was actually This Week in Latter-day Saints, and the acronym would have been TWILDS. But
like Tiddlywinks and TWILDS.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to TWILDS.
Well, I think that we have, like, I think that we've just embraced the way that people are going to view us, and honestly, I think this is smart. It's better to bridge the information they have into what we are than, you know, confuse them and make them think that there's two completely different religions. And they're like, oh yeah, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, those guys are great. Mormons, jerks. My papa said kill them.
They are the worst.
So I think it's smart to kind of use the information that's already there, because there's already, you know, it's kind of nice to blow out of the water the misgivings and misconceptions that people have, because it kind of opens up a door for understanding, I think, rather than trying to bring completely new content or a completely abstract religion that they for some reason have never heard of, and explain that to them. So I think it's smart. Maybe the marketing department of the church didn't always, but I hope they really are doing that. I hope they're kind of dropping that and just letting us be known.
Yeah, you just kind of have to at this point, it seems like. I had a thought about it, but it has since left me. But I agree with you, Al. In essence, it's just, it is what it is. I think the main point is that
it is what it is.
You hate that phrase. No. I guess the main point is that previously saying Mormon was sort of a pejorative to say that. You know, it was meant to be a snide, sort of derisive term for members of the church. We have, I feel like, more gotten to the point where it's not a negative to just be referred to as Mormon. So it's not as big of a deal. So we'll see what comes of that. I'm not aware of any official church position. This is just, I think, more Canadian stuff. So go Manitoba, living the dream. what did we say when we were looking at this article before? You mentioned some other church in the article that we enjoyed their name.
Oh, they pulled everybody up there and they found the most favorable name, Church of the Destination. That was the most favorable. And so I think we should give them the twin bump. Go
you
visit
give Church of the Destination.
The Church of the Destination. It's the most favorable name, Jeff. I think we're only obligated as favorable named people as well. I mean, Jeff and Al, obviously favorable names, as well as Twim. We got the best of the pickings. So go favorable name,
but,
friends. We can all
look
go
at
out
this
to
article. It's
Applebee's.
It's called the Destination Church, and it's great because this guy says it has great theological meaning. Our destination is Jesus, which is a good point. But Destination might be a cool name, but I agree with this here. The coolest name was the St. James Bond United Church in Toronto. Come on!
I think I'm actually going to name my next car destination. It'll be like the Streetcar Desire, but the Church of Destination. The Destination Church. That's what we'll do.
I'm gonna stick with James Bond, St. James Bond for me. I think that's gonna.
And I'm glad they sainted it. In other news, the immigration debate. So the immigration bit down in Arizona, seen as some as a heresy, seen as some as a as a great thing to protect our borders.
We have to protect America.
There's an article written that kind of asks the question, well, suggests that religion is being brought into the debate. As the bill is brought into Utah now, it's starting to get a lot more recognition from actual, you know, religious leaders. And so I wanted to bring it up to you, Jeff, and kind of, because you're kind of the
Are you sure?
Political nut. Well, I mean, I'm not afraid to rebut you if I need to even it out a little bit. But what are your thoughts on this? And is there tenets of our religion that should encourage us to go one way or the other on the issue?
Okay, I don't think there's one fine answer, and I will try to address this from a strictly LDS, like nonpartisan point of view. This is how I want to discuss this. And side note, I don't know if you saw any of the May Day rallies today, but there were pro Arizona bill and anti Arizona bill rallies all over the place today. It was wonderful. And I saw some of them today, and I shook my head. Shame on you. So this is a good question, though, because regardless of whether one is Democrat or Republican or liberal, conservative, what have you, regardless of how you feel about what this Arizona thing represents, what does it represent for us as church members? Because the gospel supports aspects of both lines of thought, okay? Because the gospel is all about what? Compassion, loving your fellow man, seeking to serve your fellow man and do the best thing for him, right?
Yep.
That's a huge tenet of the gospel. And in that idea, we should be welcoming. We don't have to necessarily say we welcome everyone with open arms, but there are many that feel that this bill is inhumane in the way it possibly allows law enforcement officials to essentially racially profile people and just pull them over on a whim just because they can. And in that sense, people view that as some sort of an inhumane thing, that it makes them subhuman, that it's defining someone by their race. And for some reason, that makes them more dangerous or more likely to be illegal than they might otherwise be. Now, the other train of thought, of course, is that the gospel also has an aspect of justice, of course, and that we believe in rule of law, that we believe in supporting the laws of the land. And anything that supports better enforcing the laws of the land can also arguably be accepted by the members of the church. Of course, there's a little bit of issue here. A lot of people are griping about the Mormons being exterminated in Missouri, or that there's some sort of parallel that
really people are griping about the Mormons being exterminated.
Well, the point is, people are saying the big difference is the Mormons were U.S. citizens, whereas anyone else here is not. So I can see it going both ways. I definitely think, my personal opinion, I think the legislation's a bit, I get what it's trying to do, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing to want to enforce immigration laws. That's fine. We do need to enforce immigration laws. We need to ensure that our borders are secure, and that those that come to our country do so in a legal manner that allows them to be here and enjoy the rights and privileges associated with being a legal resident of the United States. That's better for everyone involved. But you could say it's a little draconian, though, the way this bill could be carried out. And in that sense, it does seem like it targets particular individuals. And I don't know what that would represent in gospel terms necessarily. I don't know if the ideas of mercy and of welcoming the downtrodden and this and that are represented with this sort of legislation. So I'll throw it back to you, though, there, Al, and see what you make of it.
Well, so you know, on the one hand, so far as the bill goes, you know, like having lived in Europe, both you and I are accustomed to having to walk around with a passport or proof of you know, that we're there legally. And it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me that everybody that looked at me knew I was American, you know, because they do. Well, and the same goes, I mean, no matter how just not judgmental or whatever it is you're trying to be, you're still going to look at somebody and notice that, oh, you know, obviously of Hispanic descent, or obviously of African descent, or you know, the fact remains that they're, you know, the skin of our, or the color of our skin is still going to be different. And so there's some, you know, there's something there to say, you know, that tips people off that maybe, you know, they're not from around here, right? Like, I was enormous and just this goofy looking white guy over in stood out like a sore thumb. And I didn't try and pretend like people couldn't see that.
Yeah, I get that. But by this definition, by saying it's obvious they're not from here, what about the majority of these people? Because let's be honest, we know this is essentially singles out Hispanics. Right? Uh-huh. I doubt they're going to be looking for all the illegal Canadians that they can find in the Phoenix area.
But they should.
Probably. We need to get rid of all of them. But but the point is that singles out a certain group of people, and the majority of Hispanic or people of Hispanic descent living in Arizona are there legally, and they're U.S. citizens.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, with that being said, there's also the you talked about the mercy side of it. There's the church has kind of picked up the mantra of, you know, bring me your poor and your needy and your sick, and you know,
thank you, Statue of Liberty.
Well, that like I have direct quotes where the church has said that, you know, this is a mantra that they're happy to pick up. You know, they're happy to take that torch and walk forward with it. And but the way that they're going to be able to do that best is, you know, like these centers where they can help people aren't just in America. I mean, I think that's one of the best things about the church is that, you know, our Mexican friends on the other side of the border can have just as much access and opportunity to go and get help from the church as people over on this side of the border. And so the mercy thing is there. The more I think about the issue, the less I think that there's anything religious really that can play into it. I think it's more of a political leaning and a how you see the rules being enforced type of interpretation that should be, you know, that you should be approaching this with rather than my religion says this. And so my encouragement or my statement, I guess, is to all you folks where this is being put on the books, don't be swayed by the fact that, you know, maybe a religious leader or somebody is encouraging you to go one way or the other, unless it's an authoritative, you know, unless it's like the Brethren came out and said, hey, we got to put a stop to this, let's go. I mean, that's completely different. But, you know, in general, if you've got an elder's quorum president or a bishop that's like, and you're stupid if you feel differently about this, baloney. Like, I don't see the religious tenets of this movement at all, really. You know, I see it as just an interpretation politically.
And I agree. I think mostly it is. It's a political issue. I don't think there's as much religion involved. Some of these quotes, though, this one guy who goes against, what's his name? Representative Chris Herod, Republican from Provo. Big surprise there. he takes issue with the idea of invoking the memory of the extermination order in Missouri.
I do too. Completely.
Yeah, I do too. Because we did have every right to be there, every right. But he says, if we truly believe that God is not a respecter of persons, he would want us to treat everybody equally. Now, I have to disagree with that remark, because God has the same law for all of us, which is equal in that sense. But in no way are God's children dealt with equally. We are all judged with respect to our station in life and to our understanding of the gospel, to our understanding of everything around
us. Well, that's
us.
The same thing where, like,
we are not
the argument of
we are not
God,
judged
God
equally.
Said love everyone, so it's, you know, the fact that you're making life hard or you know that you're not loving me is makes you unchristian or wrong or whatever it is. And it's like, you know, God said to love everyone, but he also he still, you know, disciplined his children at times.
Of course. Yeah.
It's that whole, you know, God said love everyone, God said have mercy on everyone. True, you know, be the best person that you can and, like, give as much benefit of the doubt as you can to people. But that doesn't mean that we're going to overlook, you know, the laws of the law, essentially, and you know, turn away from trying to protect what is rightfully, you know, within our jurisdiction to try and protect.
Yeah, so. And I don't – the big difference here is that those that are for the bill tend to say to those who are against it, and talk to them as if they are against immigration reform or immigration enforcement in general. And I think that's a big...
Right.
That's not the case at all. It's those that are against
it. A very extreme argument.
It's a very extreme argument. And most of them pretend their only argument is that we need to enforce the law. No one that is against it, I don't think, is really saying that. They are saying, that the means don't always justify the ends, basically. Mm-hmm. That's true. We all want the same goal, but the way we're going about it right now is not appropriate, and it's inhumane. And obviously, we could get into a much lengthier discussion
sure.
about it if we wanted to. No, it's fine. But I agree that God's very wonderfully balanced. You know, there's always a degree of justice and this and that. But of course, he's compassionate towards his children. But I don't think that means necessarily compassion. I don't know. The point is, I think we have a bigger problem in the church, and it is people quoting Fox News to try to illustrate a point during an Elders Quorum discussion.
Well, so we encourage, yeah, like the encouragement is go and study it out and make your decision based on your political leanings and, you know, how you understand actually putting into play your religion, because, you know, we're all going to see it a little bit differently through a different lens. And so, you know, I really don't think that there's a religious tenet here, though, that should push us one way or the other.
And there it is. Game, set, match.
And there it is.
There it is. So you've heard our two bits on that. Well, we're going to wind up here. We have a couple other
quick ones,
other cute items to mention. Now, many of you Facebookers have probably seen.
Hey, that's my mom you're talking about.
Well, she's a lovely woman. You might have seen this thing going around for taking the Book of Mormon YouTube challenge. Now, I delightedly clicked on this a couple of days ago, hoping it was going to take me to some kind of game where I could play like games about trivia about the Book of Mormon. No. Not at all. I was let down, but the idea behind this Book of Mormon YouTube challenge is that this Monday, May 3rd, for Family Home Evening is when they encourage it. They encourage everyone to find the video of Elder Holland bearing testimony of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon, which I believe was his conference talk previous to this one from last October. And they want everyone to watch it all around at the same time, because if they all do it at once, when you go to YouTube's main home screen, it'll show most watched. And that'll pop up.
Well, yeah, so YouTube does a trending video algorithm to choose videos for the front page. So it's the number of times being watched and the acceleration at which things are being noticed. And so, you know, like right now, we should be at a relative lull on that video. And then when everybody jumps on and watches it on Monday, you know, watch it a couple of times throughout the day, the idea that all of a sudden the trend, like all it takes is a 0 to 6,000 and you can get pushed up there. And if that trend sustains itself, then it'll keep it on that front page, which would be...
The idea is for it to snowball, yeah.
Yeah, and the exposure on a YouTube front page is huge. I mean, like well into the millions of viewers, obviously.
Yeah, it says day. 11 million people go to the homepage of YouTube every day.
Which is huge. And so I kind of think it's a cool idea. I think it's... it'd be something cool to see happen. And, you know, who knows? You get somebody to click in and watch that. Like, I'm anticipating hilarious, terribly derogatory YouTube comments throughout the day. But still, it'd be,
what,
you know, it'd be great
exposure. What are you
talking
about? The comments offered up by those on YouTube are clearly stem from years of academic study and are filled with erudite insights into the nature of God and man. And they're always respectful of one another's views. I don't know what you're talking about.
It could be joy. Well, and the great thing about Mormons in general is you know, somebody will make some offhanded comment like, "You idiot, you're all morons." And then they'll be like, "Dear Jimmy Joe, you did not make a very well-crafted argument. All morons? I believe you mean Mormons." You know, like they'll craft out this three-paragraph point-by-point rebuttal of this guy's like texted in comment of, "You idiot, blah, blah, blah." It's just the nature of Mormons, and we try and be very civil online and not troll. And so, could be funny.
Yay!
But everybody go watch it. Go watch it.
But go watch it.
Monday.
So we officially support that. This Monday, this will be posted. In case you don't hear, you listen to
today.
This. Go
today.
On there and do it. Today, do this.
Okay. Other cool stuff, ldsjobs.org. The church has a new... kind of revamped church job helper find jobs.
It's not new. It's not really new.
Jeff, it's revamped. Newly revamped.
They revamped
it's interactive
it like 4 months
and
ago
dynamic,
and they're just announcing
which is exciting.
It now.
So if you're looking for a job, use the resources, ldsjobs.org.
What that means is it actually gets reasonably live feeds now, but a lot of it's still based on... They've done a much, much, much better job of making it a viable search engine for jobs. The downside is if they have any sort of agreements or listing agreements with whomever. One time I found, I kid you not, it was 12 pages straight of just jobs at Home Depot.
Hey, Home Depot needs work.
they do. So it's useful if you're going for that. But if not, you know. But they've done a. I can attest to this because I've used it in my job search, and it is a lot better than the old LDSjobs.org. It's or they didn't even have that before. But the old job site was much, much, much weaker. This is a much better avenue. So if you're
the
in
the church
market,
has a ton of stuff like that. Like when I was down at the cannery, right? They have the LDS Employment Center where they have like seminar rooms set up and interview testing or like practice sessions going on that you can go sign up for. So there's a lot of resources for free for not just church members either, for anyone. So if you know other people mm-hmm. looking.
Yeah, so if you need to go anywhere, yeah, find where your local LDS Employment Resource Center and is. And I've been there too. They have useful workshops.
Isn't there
some
office space too that where you could go and like make phone calls and stuff? So
they have a lot of interesting stuff. So look into that. Talk to your ward employment specialist if you're looking for work. Because if the Lord's people are self-sufficient, then we can take care of others. That's the whole
idea. It's true. You can't help others till you get yourself up. That's what Mom always says.
Nope. That's right.
Oh, and other news too. The Boston Chapel got approved. So just a quick follow-up.
Congrats, Boston.
After the 5,000 signature petition, the committee ended up approving the permit as is, and they get their chapel. So go democracy.
Go democracy. And yeah, I like that. We have a petition. Yeah, we're just going to approve it anyway.
But
that is the nature of the Republic.
And that's the news. That is the news.
And our commentary. Well, it's been a delightful show today, Al. Thank you very much.
Yeah, went pretty long. Sorry about that.
It's okay. No, I think we're beautiful. Beautiful. The people love it when we're long and lengthy and speaking our minds.
Absolutely.
That's right. Well, anyway, you big, gorgeous hunk of man, you have a lovely week.
All right. You too, Jeff. Good talk.
Thanks, Al.
Yep.
Always good talking
to you. See everyone.
Bye, folks. We all hope you have a lovely week, and may our lovely words and discussion take you to a more peaceful place where you can find your inner zen.
And with that, we
leave you. This has been another edition of This Week in Mormons. Seacrest out.
Is there anyone home? Come on, come down. I hear you're feeling down. Well, I can ease your pain, get you.